It's appropriate that this time of year, it's October, right? In another week and a half, 2 weeks from now, will be All Saints Day, but we'll celebrate All Saints Day, but November 1st is All Saints Day. On the eve of All Saints Day, on October 31st, in the year 1517, Martin Luther published the 95 Theses, nailing it to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Luther was a professor of moral theology at Wittenberg University who spoke out about the practice of indulgences or the practice of buying and selling sacraments in the Roman Catholic Church. Remember, there was but one Christian church then. There were some nuanced iterations of it with the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church, but everybody was Catholic. 1517, Luther pinned this thesis to the door of All Saints Church in protest to some of the actions in the church. It had become a common practice for the church or priests within the church, to more accurately depict this, to accept payment for administering the sacraments, the most offensive to Luther being the sacrament of confession and penance. This practice had progressed to the point that priests were being paid to issue letters of forgiveness to those who paid for them, which stood to absolve them of their sin. In the Theses, Luther claimed that true repentance required by Christ in order for sins to be forgiven involves inner spiritual repentance rather than an external sacramental confession purchased by a human being. He argued that the practice of selling indulgences such as confession and pardon actually led to sins of greed and corrupted the very foundations of grace in Jesus Christ. The publication of Luther's treatises is said to have marked the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. The main theme of Luther's writing is based on salvation by faith and faith alone. Salvation cannot be bought or sold, purchased, or letters written on behalf of folks to grant their salvation. That salvation happens by faith alone, which says that Christ offers salvation to those who earnestly confess their sins and receive God's grace. That transaction is spiritual, not material. He stated this as an act of inner spiritual forgiveness that could not be attained by a transaction between ordained and laity or two human beings. Our access to God made possible through Christ is that which makes true confession and pardon available, not the administering of letters to that effect between humankind. While Luther argued that his position on indulgences was in line with the sitting pope of the day, it was, as one could imagine, flatly rejected, even called heretical or false teaching by the Roman Catholic Church. Not a popular move in the eyes of the church. Luther wasn't their favored son in that moment, right? In his renunciation of the practice of selling indulgences, Luther described what has become the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers, whereby elevating the position in the church of every true believer as a minister of God. How many of you regard yourselves as ministers? Right? People who work on behalf of Jesus Christ. We often in the church talk about the minister as the person who's paid by the church to help lead the church, to teach and preach and to inspire and to do those kinds of things. And that truly is ministry without argument. But by calling me your minister, you don't get off the hook, right? Y'all are in ministry with me. Otherwise, my job is impossible. 200 years later, after 1517s, we're talking about early 1700s, the Wesleys began to work on their own theology, their own theological understanding of things. Wesley enthusiastically affirmed this doctrine of salvation by grace and Luther's ideas of universal priesthood. In United Methodists, we come by this teaching naturally. Wesley was affirmed this idea that everyone was a minister. And out of this was born a more robust concept of the lay preacher or lay ministers in our denomination. Wesley says of lay preachers, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they are clergy or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth." Strong words from our founder. He was as bold as to say that Jesus Christ himself was not ordained in the order of Aaron, but was of the tribe of Judah. And neither were any of the apostles, yet they were wholly responsible for igniting the Christian movement, lay people. Wesley also said that the whole of the Protestant Reformation would not have happened if it were not for laymen preaching God's word. You hear what Wesley is asserting? That without the work of the laity, the church does not move forward. The church does not make progress. The work of the church is stunted by inactivity without the work of the lay people. And the point of all this is that we, as United Methodists, have a rich heritage of understanding the importance of lay people in the church. As I've said twice, today is Laity Sunday, a day set aside in our church calendar to recognize and even to elevate the importance of the laity in the life of God's church. A day of reminder to faithful Protestants everywhere, that the ministry of the church is their shared responsibility with the clergy and their shared privilege with Jesus Christ himself. Did you hear that? The ministry of the church is our shared responsibility with clergy and our shared privilege with Jesus Christ himself. By virtue of our adoption into the family of God through baptism, we are ministers with and for Christ. I am reminded on this day, as I reread some of Luther's work, that the work of the church cannot be purchased or paid for, but is gladly taken up by all of those who, in Wesley's words, fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. My journey into ministry is not charted. I tell people all the time, I didn't go from Sunday school to seminary. It wasn't a straight line into the church. Well, I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and Rochelle and I were married in the church. We had our first daughter baptized in the Catholic Church. And when our second child was born, when I reread the stuff that I was agreeing to do as I raised my children in the Catholic Church, I realized that there was 50% of it or so I just couldn't do. I wasn't in line with that. So we went to the Methodist church. Both my maternal and paternal grandparents were Methodist, and I think your grandmother was Methodist as well. So we returned, really, to our Methodist roots. For 10 years, I served as a lay person in the church. It started with our involvement with the music ministries, because we're both musical folks, so we played in the handbell choir and sang in the praise team and sang in the chancel choir, and we did all the musical stuff, and we served. We were at church a lot, doing a lot of those things. And then that grew into involvement in musical theater at the local theater troupe, and then I realized that I'm really comfortable in front of people. So I began to serve as the liturgist at church. And a couple of years in, I was asked if I would teach a middle school Sunday school class, and I said, sure, give me the curriculum, I'll teach them. And so with a good friend of mine, we taught middle school Sunday school for 8 years together, and it was such a blast. We had so much fun. Right, I'm teaching middle school Sunday school, and now I'm taking adult Bible studies. We took Disciple 1, and then I taught Disciple 1 two more years, and so 3 years I'm in Disciple 1. Some would say I never got out of Disciple 1, didn't graduate to Disciple 2, because... And I just kept doing the next thing I was asked. The pastor tapped me and another woman at church on the shoulder and asked us to begin a Stephen ministry at the home church that we were in. So we went to Florida and took the training, and we came back and we launched a Stephen ministry at Portland United Methodist Church, where I was my home, all the while working full-time and raising a kid and raising kids and doing the things that people do. I was doing the work of the church as a layperson. It wasn't until 2004 that we actually took a paycheck for doing ministry. Roshan and I went together to Sycamore Creek Church in Lansing and started a youth ministry, something else I vowed I'd never do. Right? I'll do anything you want, Lord, just don't make me a youth pastor. And bang, there we are. Youth pastors in 2004, just for 1 year. And then the following year, we were called into full-time ministry in Jackson, and we began work there. Right? In 2005, 12 years later, last summer, I was ordained an elder in the United Methodist Church. So if you count the ministry all together, right, 10 years of lay ministry and 12 years of ministry as a licensed local pastor or a lay pastor, 22 years of ministry before I was ever considered ordination. Now, ordination... That's not true, because ordination is a long undertaking. I did a master's degree. But doing it simultaneously, right? Ordination is a very important rite in the church. It's really important to the life of the church, and I think important in my life for a number of reasons. But really, all ordination for me really meant was a gesture of total availability to God for whatever God would use me in this denomination. I was already... being a pastor, being a minister in the church before I was ordained, and that continues in new ways, in changed ways, because I was ordained. But the importance is that I have been in ministry for many, many years, and so are you. Many of you doing ministry in many different ways. If Janet were standing here giving this message on this day, which, as I thought about it, as I'm preparing the message, might have been more appropriate. She's currently a lay pastor. She's a licensed local pastor here and serving full-time as our associate pastor, and she's got so many gifts. But her ministry didn't start with her attaining some kind of license or certification from the church. Her ministry started with the call of God on her life, in the life of Chapel Hill United Methodist Church. I can't tell you exactly how long ago that was. She can. Ask her. We tell our stories, and I've told my story and a little piece of Janet's story to bring light to the idea that ministry is not something that Christians can delegate or perform by proxy. We can't give it away. We are all called to be ministers of God, to give to the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. We are not asked upon entering the church to pick from this list, but to offer ourselves in ministry to God in all of these ways. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. I did not stop giving when I became a pastor, as if to trade my presence for my financial gifts. I just give because that's what God is asking of us, no matter what I'm doing otherwise in the church. It's not a trade-off. Likewise, I cannot simply give monetarily to the church and expect others to carry out the ministries of the church in our community and in our world. It's a both-and proposition. After the last service, when folks heard this song, they said, I hear you. I understand what you're saying, that God's called us all to ministry, but I'm getting old and I'm tired. I can't do all that stuff. Right? You can do what you're still able to do. different gifts are used in different seasons of our lives. We shouldn't lament the ones that we can no longer use, but celebrate the ones that God is revealing in our lives today. It's exciting to watch God change our ministries with our abilities. It's proof that God remains present in the ministries of each of us in the life of the church. Our financial support of ministries of the church is really important, and they afford us the opportunity to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and meet the physical needs for many, many people. But Jesus also asked of us that we care for the sick, that we visit those in prison, and that we witness to our faith for the benefit of those who have not yet come to know who Jesus Christ is and what Christ can do for them in their lives. As Christians, we are called to be in ministry for and with Jesus as disciples, just as his disciples were called and continue to be called. Being Christian is not for the faint of heart. It's hard work, but work that we cannot resist when we are called of God to do it, and work that is fulfilling like no other kind of work to which any of us has ever been called. It's special business, folks. I tell people all the time, if you're serving in your area of giftedness and the area of call, if God is calling you to something and you do that thing that God has equipped you to do, it doesn't wear you out. It fills you up. It makes you stronger for the next thing God calls you to do. You know when you've kind of served out your life in the ministry, when you're tired of it, when you're tired in general. Oh, I have to go do this thing again. If you get there, lay it down. Someone else will pick it up. That's how God works. We know we're serving where we're called because it inspires us to do the next great thing, even if it's this big. As your pastor, I have the privilege of witnessing the kind of ministries to which you are all called every day. People within the life of Chapel Hill have taken up their call and are serving God in many, many ways. In doing so, they give examples and provide inspiration for the literally limitless ways we can serve God as an extension of Christ in our community. With the help of John Gropp, Linda's husband, we have captured some short testimonies from folks at Chapel Hill who are serving in a variety of ways. Represented in this video that we'll see in just a moment are ministries in the county jail, local soup kitchens, right here out of Chapel Hill, and local nursing homes. They don't begin to scratch the surface of the work being done, but they're examples of the good work people in this video are using with their time and their talents as an extension of the ministry of Chapel Hill. But more importantly, their service is to Christ in response to the work that Christ has done in their lives.
It all got started with the chaplain came to a missions meeting, and he was talking about what they need at the jail ministry. They were sort of in crisis at the Haven. And he said, I could use somebody to teach English as a second language. And so that just set off fireworks in my head. And so I went down and got approved and started teaching English. I've never taught English. I didn't know anything about it. I really just wanted an opportunity to be there with the women who were being held by ICE. I just wanted to be available. So now I'm teaching English once a week to anywhere from 5 to 15 women at the jail. Being with women who have struggled most of their lives and who live now and have lived on the margins is such an incredible blessing. It just puts me so in touch with women who have struggled, you know, just about every day of their lives.
Well, we have a team of 8 or 10 people, and some of them, I've been there for over 25 years, and some of them have been there longer than that. we go down and we prepare and serve a meal. It's a really necessary ministry. I thought that the numbers would go down after school started, but they've gone up. I have to keep buying more food. The numbers just keep going up and up. I'm going to do it as long as I can physically do it. And on the days, some days, if I can't go all the way down there, I just tell Sharon and she takes over and does it. But I can usually at least get the food ready for her to take. So it's a wonderful group, and we're doing something that's really necessary.
I feel blessed to be put in a position to be able to use my gifts and talents in a number of ways. One is the Share Center downtown. For the last several years, 3 or 4 years, we've provided a hot meal for approximately 80 folks down there. These are people who are on the fringes of society. Some of them are homeless, some of them are just struggling with life. But to provide them with a hot meal not only sustains them for another day, but gives them hope and connects them with people in the community that they might not have any interaction with. And the other thing is, the other program is the concert series, which we started, again, about 7 years ago. And we do that twice a year to bring in quality entertainment as a gift to the community. But beyond that, it's really a way that we can partner with local nonprofits. We've helped Safe Place. We've helped the Haven Ministry project down there. Habitat for Humanity is going to be our recipient for the concert coming up in a couple weeks.
I started painting nails at the Heritage probably 4 years ago. It was something that when I was in high school, I volunteered at a nursing home, and everyone at that nursing home at that time talked about how much it meant to them to feel pretty again and taken care of. And quite a few of them don't have anybody who comes and sees them or who trims their nails or kind of does things like that. And it just makes me feel good to help out. And I was fortunate enough to have the time and the talent to do it. There was a lady at the nursing home. Her name was Jane. And her and I started talking quite frequently. I'd see her every week. And I still do. And she told me how much it meant to her to go to church. And I asked her what church she went to. And she said Chapel Hill. And so we started talking about how I go there sometimes. This is the church I was married through. This is the church my boys are baptized through. But I don't get here as often as I should. And so it became mutually beneficial. I got to take her and spend time with her. So she was able to come to church. And it was more of a motivator to help me want to be here.
One of the things that I do is I go out to Lakeview Senior Center the first Sunday of every month to have a worship service with them. Weekends for the people there are lonely. They don't have, I don't think a lot of the people have a lot of family visiting on the weekends, and there's no activities. We have music and devotions and prayer time. It makes me feel like I'm contributing by sharing my faith with others.
And we go at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and meet the residents and have a time of prayer and devotion, music and fellowship. And I tell you, all of us who have been involved are blessed beyond measure. I know that as I sit there with them, I am sitting with men and women of great faith who could easily teach me lots of life lessons. And I just go away always feeling most blessed.
Just a few of the ways that folks are involved in ministry in this community. Just on my way in this morning to this service, I had someone say that there are a number of young folks who don't have access to transportation, have a hard time getting here in the morning, and there's an opportunity for us to perhaps just give someone a ride to church. And there's some things we need to do to get that done, but If you're available to do that, just let someone know, and you can be in ministry in that way, almost virtually by just coming to worship. The involvement of the laity in the ministries of the church is as critical in the life of the church today as it has ever been. We're in a new season at Chapel Hill. We're bigger than we've been. We're doing more things than we have done. And we need folks to step up and to do the things that the church is doing so that we can continue these ministries and so that the folks that are doing them on a repeated basis aren't worn out. Like, we need to spell some folks sometimes. So if there's something that God's calling you to do, let us know. We'll help you find ways to put those gifts that God's calling you to use into service. Christianity is sustained because the followers of Christ have taken up the ministry of Jesus, the ministry Jesus began. The apostles did what Jesus told them to do when he gave them the Great Commission, as is in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he didn't stop with the disciples. As the apostles passed along the message of the gospel, they inspired others to do the same, not only with their words, but by their actions of kindness and mercy, by the care they took with the people they encountered, thereby perpetuating the ministry of Christ himself. Coming to Christ comes with a call to be as Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. On this Laity Sunday, I pray that we all recognize our place in God's church as more than a place to rest in the grace we have found in Christ, but as a place of inspiration and motivation to be a part of the movement of Christ, demonstrating God's love and compassion for each person in God's creation. May we be moved by Christ to serve in new ways as ministers for and with Jesus to the world. At the end of the Great Commission in Matthew, Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." These words should give us courage to embark on any ministry to which we are called. We should be brave enough to step out and do whatever it is we sense God calling us to do, because we know what? That Jesus has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Ministry does not happen alone, ever, because Jesus has promised to be with us in whatever we are called to do. I pray we are all aware of God's presence in our prayers and our presence, God's provision in our ability to give, God's strength in our service, and God's own Spirit in our witness. With these, I, with Wesley, care not a straw whether they are clergy or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. Amen and amen. Ask the praise team to come forward, and while they do, let's pray together. Dear God, we know we are all called. No matter our place or station in life, no matter whether we are in the prime of our strength or not, we know, Lord, you have gifted us and you will equip us to do that which we are called to do, and that you have promised to be with us in whatever that is. May your inspiration move us to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ in this world in new ways in every tomorrow. In Jesus' holy name, amen.